Dear Father, thank you, Lord, that you've given us your word. Lord, you've given us your instruction book. And Lord, as we study this, Lord, help us just to get to know you better. Lord, to understand you, to what makes you happy, what makes you sad, angry. We've been studying your anger, Lord. A lot of people talks about the love of God, that God is love, and that's true. He's very loving, very forgiving, but he's also a God of wrath. And Lord, and we've been studying that in this lesson. And Lord, your wrath is every bit as real as your love. And just help us, Lord, to examine your scriptures. I pray, Father, that we'll learn about you, learn about us. And Lord, pray, Father, that you'll work in our hearts as we study these scriptures. And Lord, just help us to apply, not just to hear, but to apply and to live the truths that we learn out of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, if everybody would open your Bibles to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 1. As we're working our way through this. And we're in the midst of, we're working through verses 22 and 23, and we're not going to back up much, just a quick review to bring us up to speed here. We're talking about how the wrath of God has been revealed from heaven against those who suppress God's truth. God's given us his truth and his word, and yet men have rejected that. And all you have to do is turn on the evening news to see that. The heart of man is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? And we think, man aren't wicked. They're not bad. And yet, again, folks, inwardly we are. And if it wasn't for the grace of God, we'd be out there marching with all these other people, burning buildings down and all this other stuff. That's our nature. And yet God can change our nature. Anyway, let's go ahead and just read verses, let's go back to 21, and let's, to get started here, let's go ahead and read verse 21 through 23, and who'd read those verses for us? John?
Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like a corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things.
Okay, thank you, John. And a lot of times we take a look and say, how can people do the stuff they do? You know, it doesn't make sense. You know, it's craziness. There is a lot of craziness going on in the world right now. A lot of crazy thinking going on. Dismantling our police force anyway, it's just craziness. Anyway, it starts off here because in verse 21 it says, because when they knew God. And we've talked about how can we know God. First of all, we've gone through the fact God has revealed himself through creation. I mean, you take a look at just look around. And the intelligent designer is Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us. The intelligent design, how everything fits together so perfectly. You know, and one thing complements another. This didn't happen by a big bang, by a big explosion. That's another part of craziness that's out there. God has revealed himself, that he exists, his eternal power and Godhead, through creation. And then John chapter 1, verse 9 says that God has illuminated or enlightened every man that's came into the world. Every man has a certain enlightenment of God when they come into the world, when they're born. And God has created in each and every one of us a God-sized vacuum. We have a conscience that starts off being you know, more pure. Now, our conscience could get seared. But anyway, mankind have wanted to worship something. You know, there's that vacuum. It's got to be filled. And, you know, the Indians worship the sun god. And, I mean, we're going to look at all the different gods that a lot of people worship and things that people, we read in the Bible, men melt down gold and stuff, make a calf out of it, and fall down and worship it. You know, and craziness. Absolute, how can man get so depraved? And this is all leading up into that. And because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. They weren't thankful. They became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. All right, so that's kind of where we've been covering here in the past. And, excuse me, I've mowed my grass, and I've been breathing stuff, and anyway. So this emptiness, their foolish heart was darkened. Emptiness created a vacuum and is sucked in darkness. And we'll find all throughout Scripture that darkness is picturing intellectual ignorance, and it comes out in moral perversity. Darkness refers to intellectual ignorance, the absence of truth, the absence of righteousness, moral perversion. Folks, that's what you get when you reject God. When we reject God's word, then man is going to, you know, default back, you know, to his human nature. And it says, thinking themselves to be wise, they become fools. And men have heard the truth, rejected the truth, and now they affirm that their darkness is the truth, and they profess themselves to be wise. You know? And we look at a lot of these intellectual people, and we think, you know, and we tend to idolize them. We tend to follow them, you know, follow their teaching. Mankind does. Anyway, just moving along. Many Christians have decided that they need to believe in evolution. Folks, that is being taught now in a lot of our churches, in a lot of our Christian institutions, our schools and stuff like that. We can see that. Colleges, Christian colleges, used to be sound and fundamental to truth. They've turned their back. They've walked away. And it says, many Christians have decided they have to believe in evolution because they are intimidated by the philosophers who teach evolution. And so immediately they look for places in the Christian system where you can put evolution. Okay. They get to believe, well, there's some evolution, and somehow it talks about God did the creation, and so man rationalizes. And in our colleges, Christian schools, churches all over. How could we kind of fit the two together, blend them together? And so they came up with things like theistic evolution. They say, well, the Bible says God did it, and I believe God did it, but now I believe God used evolution in the process. That's called theistic evolution. You know, God says, you know, just he spoke the world into existence. Bang. It happened instantaneously. But no, they're saying, no, it was a long process, millions of years, and God used evolution to do it. And so it was an accommodation because people who were intimidated by the rationalization of the whole lot of fools who didn't know the truth anyway, they're believing them. What about liberal theology? More schools and churches have been ruined by the theology of liberals because people have been intimidated by their supposed intellectualism. Hey, these people are brilliant. They're bright. They're effective speakers. They must know what they're talking about. And so they're intimidated by these supposed intellects when in reality they are mistaken. God calls them fools. Folks, one of these days God's going to call them fools. There are a lot of scientists and stuff that have dedicated their whole lives trying to figure out how this earth came into existence. They're trying to send satellites out to some asteroid, you're wanting to land it on that, because an asteroid is something that's been untainted by mankind. It hasn't been touched, just like it was from the beginning. And they're wanting to land something on that so they could try to study that and figure out, how did all this thing start? Where did it all come from? You know, I'll give them a clue. Read Genesis 1 and 2. That's how it started. They live in ultimate foolishness, believing they're wise. They stopped listening to God's word and decided that they wanted to listen to man. We're going to put man's philosophies ahead of the Bible. And that's why we wind up like we do. Folks, Christians who believe in creation are in the vast minority. Minority. And we're called fools by them. So today you can take a good Christian academic institution and they start feeling intimidated. So you start pumping people into it who are educated and trained in the philosophies of the world. A lot of Christian schools are, you know, they're hiring the wrong people, teach the wrong stuff, okay? Pretty soon they undermine everything they ever stood for. We've seen that happen. We should not be intimidated by the philosophy of man. Folks, I've said many times, where God puts a period, we should not put a question mark. Has all the philosophy of men throughout all of its generation saved man from constant decline? No. It's drug us down. And folks, this world today is spiraling downward at breakneck speed spiritually. We're going down, down, down. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. First Corinthians chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. And who'd read that for us? Delbert?
Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the seer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe.
Okay. They call preaching foolishness. It's a bunch of baloney. You know, and God has chosen to use, you know, the base things of the world, it says, and other things. In other words, he's not looking for the wise, the intellectual person. They're looking for the average Joe. And that's basically what God can use. You know, he uses the others too, but the majority, you know. What man's wisdom couldn't do, God's supposed foolishness did. Through God's foolishness, they call it foolishness, it's the preaching. The study of God's word. The biggest fool of all is the one who has rejected the light he has. You turn your back on God, and we're going to see he turns his back on you. That's coming shortly. Man has gone into darkness, and now he rationalizes that this darkness is light, and the light is darkness. They're turning things around. They're calling good evil and evil good in this day and age. I mean, it's, you stand back and you think, wow, you know, I can look back when I was a kid and how things were back then. I look at today and I thought, wow, what happened? Whatever happened to common sense? He thinks he's a super mind, but he's a moron. It's that simple. So we see the decline and the fall of man. He rejects the truth, and he goes into dark. And then he starts filling his foolish mind with all these worldly philosophies and pleasures. If we are diligently searching for the truth, there's only one source we can go. Folks, where is the only source we can go for truth? To God. To the Bible. To his word. The Bible. The Bible gives us the truth every time, all the time. The Bible's always right. It's never wrong. Now, there's times we can interpret it wrong, But for the most part, God has given it. If we study his word, God's going to reveal his truth to us. So we're getting ready to shift gears into the next two verses, next three verses. Any questions or anything to bring up before we move on? John? Could all you hear him? No? Okay. John says he used to believe in theistic evolution, and he thought he could prove it with the Bible, but as he got studying the Bible, he found out he couldn't, you know. So, anything else before we move on? Yes? Yeah. Good point. Anybody else? Yes.
A non-biblical comment, but Calvin Coolidge is the one that gave us the quote of what an educated derelict is, the concept of an educated derelict. Someone who is just fits right in here, professes to be wise, but is really a fool. And the question is, as we go through our educational process, you know, can we become educated and not be an educated derelict?
Mm-hmm. Very good. Good point. Folks, that's why we need to know what the Word of God says. And we have the Bible in front of us, but a lot of Christians, they got their Bibles. But yeah, like she says, they'll send your kids into the public school system and they know they're being taught all this stuff that's against the Word of God. And, you know, and yet they do it anyway. And they just, anyway, a lot of a lot of people train their kids at home, you know, so, and I'm glad for that, so. Okay, let's move forward, and we're talking about reasons for the wrath of God, okay, and that's a whole concept started in verse 18. We're working up to 21 and 23 now, so basically. And we've been saying all along that Paul opens the gospel with the bad news. He starts off with the wrath of God. That's how he starts off this book of Romans. You have to have the bad news before you can have the good news. First the danger, then the deliverer. We're getting ready to get to the deliverer part. That's coming up shortly. First the judgment, then the way of escape. The whole message of forgiveness, of redeeming grace, of the love of God, the death of Christ on the cross on our behalf. We're heading toward that, folks. There's some good stuff coming ahead. Don't miss. Based upon the fact that we understand that man is truly guilty before God by abandoning the truth of God. All the way through chapter 1, up to this point, we've been talking about how man is guilty. He is guilty before God because of his sinfulness. This all deals with the fact that man is a guilty sinner before God. The wrath of God is simply the proper reaction in holiness to unholiness. And we talked about how the wrath of God is completely different than our wrath. You know, we think of God's wrath being like our wrath. No, it is not. God's wrath is a holy wrath. It is a just wrath. Our wrath is tainted by sin and selfishness and pride and all this other stuff. God doesn't have that stuff. Paul wants us to know that before we can understand the grace of God, we have to understand the wrath of God before we can understand the meaning of the death of Christ. What the death of Christ means. Before we can understand how loving, how forgiving, how gracious, and how merciful God is, we have to understand how guilty and undeserving we are. We've been talking about that. Man stands guilty before God. His wrath, by the way, is no less a divine perfection than his love or his holiness is. His wrath is every bit as divine. In fact, a couple lessons back, we talked about how some people went through the book of Psalms. And it talks about the wrath of God in the book of Psalms. And they decided to eliminate 84 of the Psalms out of their Bibles. Because it talks about the wrath of God. Because people says, God is love. This wrath stuff from God, that's not the God that we know. And there was another time I remember reading about, it's a similar type of thing. It was in some different books. It's back when God was judging Israel. And they took these complete, they wouldn't even study these books of the Bible because it talked about God being judgmental against man, you know, and they don't want to hear that. You know, we don't want to hear about hell. Hell isn't real, they say. Folks, hell is every bit as real as heaven. Every bit. And if God doesn't send mankind to hell, then he's lied to us. God is not a liar. Hell is real. Called a lake of fire. You don't want to go there. His wrath is as much of an element of his perfection as anything else. It is a divine perfection. God is just. He will punish sin. God will as surely bring wrath on the wicked as he will bring his mercy on the just. Just as real. Okay, with that little introduction, let's go ahead and read Romans chapter 1, and let's read verses 21 through 23. Okay, forgive me, folks, we did that. Yeah, I was finishing up what was last lesson, and that's what we had to read. Okay, we've already done that. Thank you, Delbert. Get me straightened out here. Okay, let's turn to Exodus chapter 20. As we move forward in all of this, Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, we'll read verses 1 through 5. 1 through 5. Mick? Okay, he's got his hand up before he even asked. All right, very good. I like that.
God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourselves an idol in the form of anything in heaven, above, or on the earth below, or in the water beneath. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children of those who hate
you. Okay, thank you, Mick. All right. God's talking about you're supposed to have no other gods before me. But we're going to take a look at the depravity of man shortly. Here God lays down the rules, the Ten Commandments. Rule number one, no other gods. Rule number two, no idols of any shape or form. That's the highest standard. is summed up in a statement of our Lord, "This is the great commandment, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength." In other words, be utterly committed to the true God. Folks, there is no place in God's standard for any other God. No place. God is a jealous God. He will share his space with no one else. So a step in the decline and fall of man is religion. When man gets religious, apart from the true God, they have violated God's standard at this very beginning point. Violating God's standard. It's the most blasphemous thing they can do. That's a question God wants every man to ask. Where are you going to put God? He demands first place. Where are we putting God? This command says there's only one place where God will be put, and that is first. There will be no other gods. There will be no other idols or images of any kind. And that's precisely what man has violated. We see it all the time. He's broken God's commands at the very start, blaspheming God, so God says man is inexcusable. What happens? Man became religious, and he made idols out of men. He made idols out of birds, out of beasts, out of snakes, out of bugs, and things like that. And it talks about, let's go back to Romans. In verse 23, it says, "And he changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and to creeping things." God lays them out. He said, that's what man's going to do. That's what man has done. Religion is not the highest point in man's ascension. It is the lowest level. When man comes up with his own religion. First, God is revealed, and he should know God through the created world, but he rejects that. And into the emptiness that he is left with rushes in an intellectual ignorance and a moral perversion. In the midst of this blackness, he cannot deal with the fact that he is wrong, so he rationalizes that he is right. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. But still in his heart, there's this empty feeling because something in him demands a God, so he makes one up. You reject God, but yet there's that God-sized vacuum. We got to fill it with something, okay? Isn't that incredible? That man should eliminate the true God and then create one that doesn't exist, and then he calls himself wise. It would be on the level of a father who had a son and murdered his son and brought in his place a ventriloquist dummy. And then he went on through the rest of his life introducing the dummy to people as his son. It's that ridiculous, okay? We'd put him in an insane asylum. But that's what man has done. It's what man has done. How informative it is to be able to get a grasp on why the world is the way it is. The Hindus have some 330 million gods. That's hard to wrap our mind around. 330 million gods. 450 million Hindus have 75 million cows to worship. We're talking about what man is worshiping. In Thailand, there are 20,000 Buddhist temples. A 2-inch long discolored tooth is reverenced by 400 million Buddhists as the most sacred object on earth, a tooth. They claim that it is a tooth rescued from the funeral pyre, P-Y-R-E, pyre, of Buddha in 543 BC. The word pyre is a heap of combustible material, especially for burning a corpse as a part of a funeral ceremony. It's Buddha's tooth. So this tooth that they're worshiping apparently came from Buddha. They have set it in a golden They have set it in a golden lotus blossom in a temple called the Temple of the Tooth. And that's found in Kandy, K-A-N-D-Y, Ceylon. They have surrounded it with rubies and myriads of flowers. People come from many countries to worship it, bringing gifts of gold, silver, and jewels to come and worship this tooth. Christ's burial sheet, is supposed to be the shroud at Turin. Okay? Remember hearing all this about the shroud? Okay? It doesn't seem to bother those that the Bible says his body was wrapped in one sheet of cloth and his head was wrapped in a napkin which set apart by itself. If you read the account, when Peter and John go run to the tomb, they found the napkin around the head laying beside it, folded by itself. Okay? They haven't factored that in to this shroud bit. We live in a very religious world, lots of religion. Even in our own society, people flock into cults, that God-sized vacuum. They identify with religious people. At least 2.6 billion people in the world have an identifiable religious affiliation. They say, I guess I'm part of some religion. That's over half the population. Man is a religious person, you know, based on his own religion. Paul is telling us that man does not ascend to religion, he descends to religion. Excuse me. When man forms his own religion, it's wrong religion. And that's the message of Romans 1:19-23. Man is to be pitied, not because of a lack of opportunity, not because there's no way he can get his focus clear, not because God is unfair. People blame God for all these bad things that's happening. That's God's fault. But man is to be pitied because he refuses the truth. We had a quote from, I'm just going to do this for you two, okay? You were here. But there's a quote. I went through a lot of stuff about the evidence for creation, that it's real. And anyway, one of the questions we asked was, why do we have this philosophy of evolution? You know, where did it come from? And it said that that question would be answered best by an evolutionist himself. And basically, a guy named Sir Arthur Keith is his name, and he said evolution is unprovable and in other words, you can't see it again, you can't reproduce it, you know. And so he says, but the only alternative is to believe in a God, you know, that did this, and he says, and that is unthinkable. And so therefore, you know, creation makes a whole lot more sense. But we refuse to accept the fact that there is a God, that God exists. And so that is unthinkable, and so the best thing we could come up with is evolution. And we're going to believe that instead. That's an evolutionist telling why we have this. And so anyway, if there's any other people here it fits right in here, so. And having refused the truth at the highest level, he descends to the pit of religion. Man did not ascend out of the muck of paganism to discover God. He left the knowledge of God and went down into the muck of paganism. Religion is not man's ascent. Religion is man's descent. Now, this is a critical passage because you have to see the justice of God all bound up in this. God is just. Okay? And that's why in verse 18 it begins by saying, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. In other words, God is angry with men even though he loves them. God demands that they face the consequences of their sin. God promises he will punish sin. The reason he has a right to be angry flows out of what Paul says at the end of verse 18. Men hold the truth. They suppress the truth. They hold down the truth. They suppress it. They abandon it. Verse 19 says, that which may be known of God is manifest in them. It has been shown. It's been revealed. But they leave that. In verse 21, it says, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Verse 23 says, and they changed the glory of God, of the incorruptible God, into their idols. That is a descent of man. So man is idolatrous. He rejects the true God. He affirms in his own mind that he's wise. Therefore, he will call the shots, and he will determine what is true. I can make up my own mind. Folks, you're in trouble when you get to that point. And in the residual feeling that there must be a God, he creates one out of his own mind that is a product of his own thinking. That God-sized vacuum. There must be a God. I reject the true God, so I got to come up with another one. And he worships that God. And is the ultimate, that is the ultimate damnable heresy. In verse 23, it starts off, and he changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like unto man, birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. This thing, it says he changed the glory. A good way to interpret that is exchanged it, okay? Is a better way to say that. He exchanges the glory of the incorruptible God for an idol. Foolishness. It's incredible that the incorruptible, eternal, divine nature of God would be exchanged for the sun, the moon, a stick, or a stone, or some kind of crafted image. But that's what they do. When men do this, in effect, they wind up worshiping the devil. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And we're going to look at verses 19 through 22. And who'd read that for us? Yes, sir.
Or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? We are not stronger than he, are we?
Okay, thank you. Okay. And, you know, they wind up worshiping, they're worshiping these idols. They're actually worshiping the devil. It says so right here. You know. The world of religion does its sacrificial stuff. But the idols to which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils. We've asked ourselves so many times, how can people worship a rock? Okay? How can he do that? This rock never does anything. They pray to the rock and nothing happens. Maybe he's been worshiping that same rock for that 20 generations. And you wonder, how can they get all hung up on this rock? Basically, if you worship the God you think is in the rock, perhaps a demon will impersonate the God and they think is in the rock. and do enough supernatural stuff and enough phenomenon will happen to keep people stuck on that rock. You know, we know that the demons can do miracles, or do signs and stuff. You know, when the with Pharaoh, when Aaron threw down his rod and it turned into a snake, they did the same thing. And they can do certain things. It's limited by God, of course, but there's some things they can do. They can do some supernatural looking things. And as we went through the book of Daniel and we looked in Revelation, this false prophet, these guys, they're going to be able to do some signs and wonders and, make fire come down out of heaven. And, they can do some stuff like that. And people are deceived by it. They're sucked in. But we've got to be careful. We've got to be careful. If people want to worship the stars and astrology, possibly Satan will make enough stuff come to pass within his power to keep people hooked on that stuff. Any religion but the true one, the worship of God through Christ, is a false religion. Folks, there's only one way to heaven. Jesus Christ. Any other religion is a false religion. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Folks, don't put a question mark there. Put a period there. God did. Our time is up. I can't believe that clock is my biggest enemy. I'm just starting to get fired up here. So anyway, time to quit. Any closing comments or questions for us? Yes, Keith. Yes. Okay.
But evolution of the crop. Because it started out with men making the cars out of themselves. You have four.
Okay.
And then you had a few. So next was forwards. There was a falcon. I don't know if you remember. Then four-footed things. You got cougars, Mustang.
Mm-hmm.
And now creepy things.
Yeah.
Vipers.
Really? Okay.
But he also used an example from the auto industry.
Really? That's interesting. Okay, thank you, Keith. We're going to take a look at, next Sunday, we're going to look at a lot of the, you'll be amazed at what a lot of these countries have worshipped. Beatles. Big bunch of people worship Beatles, that's just one example. There's many. It shows the depravity of man. And that's what God's talking about all the way through here. Our time is up. We need to quit. So, thank you guys for coming. Study your Bibles. Spend time in it. Learn God's Word. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, for your Word. You've given it to us. Father, we're grateful for that. And Lord, we take it for granted. We don't study. We don't know what's in it. There's a lot of things we don't know about you. And Lord, help us as we go, as we study, Lord, and learn. Help us, Lord, to realize your wrath is real, Lord, and it's just. Lord, at the end of things, when you judge mankind, your judgment is just. It's right. If you send people to hell, Lord, you're right. It's just. Your hatred of sin, we cannot understand your hatred for sin. And Lord, we call it just some little white lie. It breaks your heart. And your wrath is poured out against it. Father, I just pray that you'll help us, Lord, just to learn. And Lord, to apply the truths that we've learned here. Lord, I pray now that you'll be with Pastor Mertens as he brings the message this morning. Lord, open our hearts. Each and every one of us have a different need. And I pray, Lord, that you'll speak through your word, through him, to us. And help us, Lord, to understand and help us apply the principles that we learn. Not just to be hearers only, but to be doers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.